It's been months. You've been clocking 10, 12-hour workdays, grinding your butt off for this test. You get your paper back. You failed. What is it that you're doing wrong? You've been working so damn hard. Maybe it's your study methods. Today, Dylan Breitenbach, UNISA's top CTA student in 2023, audit senior at More Joburg, and founder of Accounting Warriors, a platform dedicated to providing top quality accounting study materials to enhance your learning experience, is about to bless us with an array of study tips as well as study strategies to upgrade and take control of your academic life. We also chat about the pros and cons of studying online versus in person, how to adjust from full-time to part-time studies, more study techniques to maximize your study time, the importance of learning to make mistakes in your articles, good questions versus no more questions, bringing back the passion to the profession, and more. Enjoy. Guys, I know I'll be fast. You're traveling on the road. Most notes aren't all that. They usually lackluster and draining, to say the least. That's why Accounting Warriors is here to save the day. Notes designed to deliver the gist with as much detail as possible while remaining fun and fresh. And travelers on the road to CA, you guys get 15% off all Accounting Warriors products. Make sure you do the work though, first, I must add. Because guys, notes don't mean much unless you've actually done the reading. Notes are for ripe minds, as I like to say. But if you are ready, if your mind is ripe, these are some of the best out there. If you haven't already, please check out part 1 and part 2 linked in the show notes. Again, 15% off all Accounting Warriors products linked in the show notes as well. With that, on to part 3. You studied online.
Yep.
What was the difference? Because I know now you work with people who didn't study online. Because my brother failed CTA. He was online.
I think from what I've chatted to people about, the biggest difference is the University of Pretoria, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That is a university you go to be taught. An online university like UNISA, that is a university you go to get access to a platform to write accredited exams.
Mm.
Yes, they do have student support, but that's not their business model. The business model and the strategy of a long distance learning university is providing access to information, creating a platform for accredited examinations for you to go to and apply your knowledge. So for me, studying online was about a soul journey, a journey where you find what how the theory makes sense to you and understanding it on your own terms and showing up to the university exams and passing it there. Where as a full-time university, it's more you show up to a lecture. The lecturer's job is to get you from point A to point B, and then to assess whether you can get to point A to point B on yourself based on what they've given you. So that's the biggest difference. And I always tell people that if you're able to study by yourself, and you'll know from your high school days, like if you were agitated and annoyed by a teacher following a set structure, you were done with chapter 1 to 10 in the first week, but they're still on chapter 3 by the second week. If you were frustrated by that, go do online schooling because you're in control of your curriculum. For my first 3 years, I chose when I took what subjects and how I studied for those subjects. And I got subject matter and I had 3 to 4 months to cover everything for my 5 modules. But I had the freedom and the opportunity to decide when am I studying IFRS 16? When am I studying audit? When am I studying management accounting? Where if you go full time, it's a bit more structured. But if you're the type of person that requires that structure, then I would recommend you to go back to university because it's all about getting to your CTA and getting through your CTA.
Mm.
So you need to set yourself up to pass that as best as possible. So it all depends. It's up to you what you need.
It was interesting how you mentioned that a lot of those part-time CTA students, like ones that might go to Mill Park, they struggle with that transition, yep. right? From being in that three-year degree where, as you said, you're being taught and then going to your online program where now you have to you have to learn. Like, how would you say, so obviously you wouldn't have personal experience, but maybe you've chatted with people. How would you say those people can adjust? Because I know a lot of people are from those degrees and then they want to be able to do their CTA, maybe part-time, or just to get into a CTA program to pass, get through.
Yeah.
How do you adjust?
So it depends on your program.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three main part-time programs. It's IAS, Mopark, and UNISA. Okay. IAS and Mopark has a lot of support initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
Classes you can attend digitally, virtually, twice a day, depending on your schedule. And you can contact the lecturers directly. The reason you're able to do that is because the volume is a lot lower than UNISA. Okay? You're talking about universities that has between 300 to 600 students. I think Mopark's a bit more now, but that's your general volume. UNISA is upwards of 1,500 to 2,000 students per year.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Proper. Like that's more than
all the universities combined.
Yeah.
Excluding Mopark. I think Mopark is a big contender now. But the point being is if you're in one of those two programs, you're lucky enough to afford that because it is quite expensive, but they give you a structure. The problem comes in when you're a full-time student. Your 8 hours between 9 and 5 or 7 and 3 was studies. So you knew at 10 o'clock, I have a class. 12 o'clock, I have a class.
Mm.
3 o'clock, I knock off. I go to the gym. I do my own thing.
Mm.
The difference now is those 8 hours has transitioned into work. So you need to work 9 to 5, 7 to 3:30. Travel home, watch your classes, do your studies, study at night. And my advice would be is that that's where you need to play open cards with your managers and your directors. You need to sit with them. And I recommend, as students, we are lazy people. Even when I did UNISA, I was the farthest from the kid who had a schedule for everything. The farthest from it. But if you're doing a hectic article program at like a top 10 firm, there are going to be times where you're going to be working overtime. It's going to be a tough time. But it's good for your growth.
Mm.
But you can't let that get in the way of your studies. And the only way you can prevent that is you're going to have to take charge in the beginning of the year. In January, when you get your Mopark schedule, your UNISA schedule, your IIS schedule. Yes, it's subject to change, but come on, if we're being realistic, it's like one or two tests that are going to change. Realistically speaking, the rest is pretty much set in stone.
Mine is. It has not changed. Like, I'm repeating third year?
Exactly.
It's the same as last year.
It's supposed to be the same, and it generally will be, but it's your responsibility to then go to your manager. I mean, at our firm specifically, we've got a whole planner. Yes, it doesn't plan the entire year's work, but the first 6 months, once you show up in Jan, it's pretty much planned. And the rest goes as we go along. So if you can already pre-plan your study leave into those blocks and your manager is aware of your program, it makes it a lot easier to throttle your workload.
Yeah,
and that comes again to taking accountability. You can't start a CTA program part-time and an article program full-time and not be vocal of your study needs. Because I'm not going to know. Yes, even me, I studied part-time, but I don't know what your schedule is. So if you, my first year, as much as I want to give you time to study, if you tell me a day before a deadline, you now need to take a week off, it's going to be really hard for me to say yes.
Yeah.
So it comes in with planning. And I think that's your success when you study part-time, is plan out your year, especially if you're doing CTA for the second time. You know what they're going to ask. They know, you know, you know what the first two tests is about, these IFRSs. It's not going to be the same questions, but you know what you need to study and you know what you struggle with. So put time aside and do that. That would be my advice. And I think be as efficient as you possibly can be, but also be honest with yourself. I used to take an Excel spreadsheet and I set out all the hours in a day. 24 hours. And I made notes, being honest. What am I doing during these times normally? And I realized that between all of that, I wasted about 4 hours watching Instagram or Netflix.
That takes vulnerability, eh? To be honest with yourself.
But it made me realize I've got four extra hours.
Yeah.
To do stuff.
Yeah.
So that whole thing of I don't have time, there's not enough time, it goes away. Because there is enough time. It doesn't feel like it. But if you think about it, work's 8 hours, including your lunch. Sleep is 8 hours. So what are you doing with the other eight? Because all you need to do to study part-time is you need 2 to 3 hours. So if you take that out, you've got 5 hours to party.
2 to 3 productive hours.
Yeah, 2 to 3 productive
hours. And I think that, I actually want to get into that because you've obviously been through it. You've been a top student. How do you maximize, because now you have to be super productive with your time. How do you maximize that 2 to 3 hours?
So I used a study technique where I would zone in for 30 minutes. I would break for 10.
Okay.
I would zone in for 30 minutes. I would break for 10. So I set miniature goals for myself. So in accounting, for example, if I knew IFRS 9 has 64 pages that I have to work through, then I would tell myself, okay, cool. Tonight is my IFRS 9 day. I don't care if I spend 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. It's getting done today. I sat down, and what I essentially did was, especially in CTA, I knew what was irrelevant and what was relevant based on how the paragraphs are laid out in the specific IFRS. So I'm talking about IFRS a lot because that's a crux for a lot of people. Management accounting doesn't have that much study things. It's more a practical thing. But I would go into the IFRS and I would read every paragraph. But I would scan over it. And then I would think, okay, is this a core paragraph? Is it a context paragraph? Or is it just in a very rare, rare event, this is going to happen? And once I've classified it into that, I would go in, focus my time on all the core paragraphs. Then if there was extra time or when I did revision, I would go into specialized cases. And then if I still didn't understand the topic, I would go into the context paragraphs. But I always, for every topic I studied, I had a theory night and a practice night.
Okay.
So I would study the theory. Once I felt comfortable, I would do questions. And I really would then go back to the theory. I would just practice questions, practice questions.
People, and I chatted with one of my friends about this. The problem with accounting students is we were really good academically back in school.
Yeah.
You know, like you got 100 and whatever percent for your accounting exam. So we're academically inclined. And so we are smart, right? And if we are academically inclined, we get things right. The problem with doing a question is it's going to show you that you're wrong.
And what's wrong with that?
It makes you feel like I'm stupid. I didn't get the question right. Or
true.
I went all the way down there. That's the problem. But like literally there's no way to improve without a question.
But if you think about it, you got the question wrong in your own bedroom, all alone. Is it the question calling you stupid or is it you? Because if you're going to make it that deep, it's going to be that deep.
Yeah, that's
the thing. It's And I know I've been through the struggle. I get it. It's not that easy. But it's something you need to develop over the 4 years. I always say, like, CASA is not your identity.
Yeah, man.
Failing something on the CA journey doesn't make you a failure. It doesn't make you less competent. It just makes you a failure in the topics tested. Those topics on that day, in that point of time, you missed the boat. It doesn't make you stupid. It doesn't make you a failure. Yes, you feel like it. There's nothing worse than getting a result back and it's not what you expected. But at the end of the day, nobody cares.
Truth
like
be told.
It's just you sitting in your bedroom beating yourself up.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing that students need to realize as well. Very rarely in the professional world does someone ask you how many tests did you fail, how many tests did you pass, what was your grade even, how many attempts you took even. They don't ask those questions. Nobody asked me. Nobody wants to know. It's when you start saying or excelling or doing things when people are like, oh, where did you study? Or how long did you study? Or if for mine came when they asked me how old I am. And they're like, oh, okay, why are you so young? And I was like, okay, well, this is the reason. But
you gave value.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the biggest thing to realize is that, yes, it's tough doing questions. But, I mean, you are going to make mistakes. Even in your article journey, if you start as a first year, and you are so scared of making a mistake, you're not going to make it. You might as well quit now. Because you're going to create so much anxiety in yourself. That's going to create issues in your team. You're going to blame your manager for things that isn't even their fault. You're going to be so stressed out. I mean, some firms have 6 months probation. Okay, do you want to go through 6 months stressed that you're going to make a mistake? Or do you want to go through 6 months realizing that you are going to make a mistake? And you're not just going to make one mistake. You're going to make 100 mistakes. But that is how you learn. Because if you think about it, if you do something right, you don't remember it.
You don't remember.
It feels good in the moment.
Yeah.
But what's the thing playing in your head the whole time when you're driving back home from a long trip? Is every single thing you did wrong.
Yeah.
If you can't sleep, what did I do wrong? I said that cringe thing at school yesterday. Or I did this. So it's important to make mistakes in articles. Use your 3 years to make as many mistakes as you can.
Maximize the 3 years through making more mistakes.
Exactly. Okay, don't go overboard now.
No, look.
Go to your manager now. Yeah, not negligence.
Not negligence. But like being a little bit more bold.
Exactly.
Being a little bit more bold to say, I think this. And tell them.
Exactly.
Manager, I think this. State your case.
Yes.
Knowing that you might be wrong.
Exactly.
But don't be afraid that you're wrong. Understand that that's part of the learning. I think like even in class, so I speak a lot. I like ask a lot of questions. And I'm starting to sort of desensitize myself to it. But when I first started doing it, I would always want to ask questions that I know I'll be right in. But those are the wrong questions to ask. Ask the questions that you might be wrong in. Ask the questions that you're not sure about. And that way, you're going to learn more.
You're going to learn more. It's like one of my, not managers, but one of my fellow managers actually said to me yesterday, and she was like, I asked her a question, and she asked me, before I ask her the question, is it a good question or a normal question? I was like, what do you mean? Like, what's the difference between a good question and a normal question? She's like, no, for her, a good question is if your question makes me question my answer. Whoa. That's a good
question. Say that again quickly. Say that again.
A good question.
A good question.
Is a question.
Is a question.
That makes me question.
That makes me question.
My answer.
My answer. I'm going to have to quote you. But, damn.
And that just made me, I had the exact same reaction. I was like, wow,
damn.
I never thought about that. But that's the thing. Ask your questions. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. Next week, they're not going to remember. It's only you.
It's only you. I'm curious, what drives you? Because like, man, to do what you're doing, also to have the, because like, it's so interesting having these conversations with people and finding out like beneath the exterior of accounting warriors, there's really a brilliant mind. Like what drives you?
I think it's a hard question to answer because for me specifically, it's not a single factor. You know, there's no one that I want to prove that I'm a CA to. There's no external factor. For me, I am on a mission to show people that if you apply your mind to where you want to go, especially in the CA journey, no matter the circumstances, no matter where you come from, if you just apply yourself and you show up, that you can make a big, bold career. And I think that's the vision that drives me, is as a UNISA student, to show the world, like, yes, I'm a UNISA student. And yes, I can see you looking at me with sad faces and wondering if I know what's potting. But get this, I actually do. Okay, so you can look into my CV and say, oh no, you're a UNISA student. Or you can look at my track record and be like, oh wow, okay. It doesn't actually matter where you study. It doesn't actually matter where you come from. You can still make it to the top. And that's what I want to do. And in doing that, I want to show aspiring accountants and chartered accountants that there is another way. Mm. It doesn't have to be the prestige one-way direction, go to a University of Pretoria or University of Stellenbosch or a Cape Town University or even a Big Four articles. It's not about that. Mm. You can go through all of that and still be a failed CA.
Very true.
And yes, you can go through all of that and be an amazing CA. But it's the same for UNISA students. It's the same for part-time students.
Mm.
So for me, it's making that change. It's shifting that into taking accountability and bringing that, like, I want to be a CA back to the profession, you know? I've always wanted it to be like the Grey's Anatomy of, like, people are competing to be in this field. They're not just going because there's a lot of money or it's an automatic European visa. They actually want to be. They want to build this profession. They want to win a Harper Avery if there was one for CAs. But that's the plan. So that's the bigger vision, is changing the mindset.
So it doesn't sound, because I saw this one, like, really interesting journaling prompt. Like, it was a very, like, self-probing question. It was, this is a crazy question. If anyone's listening, like, try answer this yourself. But what do you see in your life as ambition that is actually envy?
It's a good question.
This doesn't sound like envy.
Yeah, it's not envy.
It's very outside yourself. As you said, like, it's very like if you think about it, like, I want, just that statement, I want for us to want to be CAs again. Like, who wants that? No one.
Exactly. Currently no one, yeah.
No one.
Oh, not known. The people that I've met.
Look, like just general sentiment around, like, people aren't passionate about the profession as maybe they once were.
I think it stems from not understanding the profession.
Okay.
I think if you're a doctor, you know the value you add.
Yeah, it's very clear.
It's very clear. I mean, if you make the wrong cut, they die. If you make the right cut, they live.
Yeah.
With CAs, we don't see that. We don't always realize that we actually have a massive impact. And if you think about it, if we sign an audit report on an investment or in a massive company, let's say it's a massive car manufacturer, the largest one in South Africa, and we sign that clean audit report, and they come out that there's fraud or people are stealing money or stuff like that, the pension funds that are invested in that lose all their values.
Mm-hmm.
That trickles down to South Africans who has those pension funds.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, indirectly, you're not killing anyone. But people can commit suicide because of decisions that CAs make.
Mm-hmm.
And the change that you can make with being a CA is, it's a norm. I mean, the platforms, if you a CA at Goldman Sachs, you've got a platform that has global reach.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just need to launch one project.
Yo.
And the change that you can make through that is immense. And I think if we start bringing that back to the profession, like, actually, I can use these tools. I can be a CA and this is what I can do with it. You know, people will inherently want to be a CA. And it's not going to matter about how much do I get paid or how cool does my offices look, or what benefits do I get? Because those things, I always say, the more value you add, the more money you make.
Sure.
So focus on the value.
Focus on the value.
Because the rest is going to come. It all comes. Yeah. I mean, Accounting Warriors is currently adding value, and everything I've done so far has just come. I haven't asked for anything. I haven't asked to be on an interview. I haven't asked to be on a podcast. Sure. It just, it comes. And that is better than standing outside of like ENCA trying to get onto the knees. Because you want to be seen.
Yeah. Like, that's such a huge lesson that I've learned as well. Aim to be valuable. Don't aim to be rich. Aim to be better.
Yes.
Don't aim to be famous. Aim to be better.
Yes.
When you become better, you will get rich. You will get famous. Value is the key word.
Exactly.
Are you valuable? Are you valuable? You know, and you said at the beginning, like, it's about realizing what you can give. People do have inherent value. And it, yeah, like, I do believe everyone has a strength. And that's what I'm finding with the podcast. Like, everyone's got those things that you have a brilliance that you just need to learn how to distill.
Yes.
You need to learn how to channel it, because no one's going to see it until you see it. No one's gonna realize that, oh, Dylan's actually a brilliant guy. Oh, he's got great inferior knowledge until he creates the valuable content for others.
Exactly.
To actually
see it.
Okay. Dylan, Accounting Warriors, what is it? How can we interact with it? What are your plans with it?
So Accounting Warriors started off as just a notes brand. But I feel like it's evolved into something much more important. It's a movement. It's a movement of saying, I'm taking charge of my studies. I'm engaging with this content. And right now, it is about giving access to people that might just want to have a cool note to reference back to, or just wants that affirmation of, I'm on the right track. The Accounting Warriors note says, IFRS 16 means X, Y, and Z. I thought it meant X, Y, and Z. I'm on the right track. Things that are coming to Accounting Warriors very, very soon is a website launch, which will facilitate PDF downloads of notes.
Oh, wow.
Live tutoring sessions, webinars.
Oh, wow.
Potentially interacting with other lecturers or CAs on their specific viewpoints on technical theory. It's more going to be for the students for now. But in the distant future, maybe not so distant, Accounting Warriors could turn into a technical hub for professionals. I mean, with technical opinions and stuff like that. But for now, it's student driven. So I think that's the biggest thing that's coming to Accounting Warriors would be the website launch, which I am working on. And then just the Psyca Youth Campaign that's launching probably around next week or the week thereafter.
Ooh. Look, when this gets released, I don't know if it'll be next week.
Yeah, well,
yeah. Soon.
If you see Accounting Warriors or me on Psyca, then you know. But yeah, that's Accounting Warriors. It's a movement.
So basically, your LinkedIn will be linked in the show notes. If you want to go and check out these coveted notes, you know, all these resources, the famous, or yeah, not infamous, the famous Accounting Warriors guys, his LinkedIn will be linked in the show notes. I remember seeing your stuff like months ago. I was like, yo, this is useful. I think it was like general deductions or something.
Yeah, probably, because that was one of the first ones.
It really helps with, like, also, as you said, like, just keeping accounting top of mind.
Yeah.
And the technical topics top of mind, because I think, like, when we go onto our phones, when we go onto YouTube, when we go onto Instagram, it's all just groove. It's all just like parties, and like it's not the stuff that'll actually add value to the world. So it's just great to have that thing of, oh wow, okay. Deductions. And then you read through the whole thing. Yeah, that was there. Oh, what? Oh, that's probably a CTA topic. You're reading through it.
And I think the other thing is it helps provide, especially for the part-time students, it highlights the important areas of the topic.
Yeah.
Because that's also a hard thing, is if you're learning by yourself, what do I leave out? Don't leave anything out, but, you know, what do I focus on?
Look, like the tax legislation is too big.
It's too big. But for me, it's like, that's what I try to do with my notes, is my notes won't cover the basic stuff of a section. It's going to cover the in-depth, hard stuff, the things that you need to really focus on. Because the other things you'll know. If you understand the hard stuff, you're going to understand this little easy part of the standard. True. So that's the idea.
True, man. I love what you're doing, trying to add purpose to the journey, trying to add more. I think I would love the idea of having like a technical hub, man.
Yeah.
That sounds very exciting, I must say. If you could gaze into a crystal ball, gaze into this magical object, and see Dylan from first year, second year, maybe even high school, what would you tell him?
I would probably say, be patient. Everything will come to you when it's the right time. And to just have that perseverance, to just keep on going. Like, especially the CA journey, it's a hard journey.
Yeah.
It's a long journey.
Yep.
With a bunch of milestones. And sometimes it feels like you're not getting anywhere. And especially after your degree, it feels like there's still CTA, there's still articles, there's still boards. What am I doing? Like, it's so annoying. But just keep on keeping on, because once you pass all of those barriers, the growth that you go through in passing them, you can't get that anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep on going on.
Patience. It's not about waiting. It's about figuring out what to do in the meantime.
Exactly.
Go study. Go do the question. Go do the question. That's the greatest act of patience. Go do the question.
Yes.
Don't procrastinate it. Rest when you need to. Don't burn out. But be patient. Guys, if you have not already, please declare us a plea. Follow this. Oh my goodness. This was one of the most fire episodes I've ever had on the show. Goodness gracious. I told you guys. Show notes. Accounting Warriors. Dylan's LinkedIn will be there. I hope it does not end, but that it begins in CASA, didn't. Thank you, man.